Well, thank the Lord this morning again for each one that was able to be out today, and trust the Lord will bless each one with the term is a prosperous new year. And by prosperous, it would be fine to be blessed temporally, financially prosperous, but I trust the Lord will bless each one with a spiritually prosperous year, that we can start this new year with the purpose and desire to draw closer to the Lord and be more what God wants us to be and gain some more victories this year than what we've had. Written a question on the board, how many years will you labor? Something that the Spirit of the Lord just kept bringing to my spirit just repeatedly, how many years will you labor? Well, I could begin over in the book of Genesis in the 28th chapter. Genesis chapter 28, we're going to consider the story of Jacob this morning. 28th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Now this is after all of the deceit that took place, all of the things that happened that really weren't above board with Jacob. But Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So Isaac was telling his son, told Jacob, he said, I don't want you to marry among the Canaanites. In other words, most likely the idol worshippers of the time, don't marry an idol worshipper, but I want you to go, and I know today this is not acceptable, but in Old Testament times, they married many times family members. So he said, I want you to go to your wife's brother. In other words, go to your uncle's house. And I want you to marry. I want you to find maybe one of his daughters. Marry, that would be a first cousin. But understand it was acceptable at this time. But I want you to go and find a wife. And so Jacob went on his journey in the 29th chapter. And we read about in the remaining part of the 28th about the vow that he made to the Lord and laid his head on a pillow of stone. And then in verse 29, we're going to pick up. It said, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And to save a little bit of time, I'm going to just summarize a little bit. Verse 6, skip around. He said, he found some people gathered at a well, and he asked about Laban. Do you know who Laban is? He'd never been there before. He never visited, most likely, never been there before, so this was a new experience. He was going to meet family that he didn't know. And he came to the well of the place where he was headed, and he began to ask people, do you know who Laban is? And they told him, they said, yes, he's well, and behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. In other words, Laban's doing well, and this is the well where his daughter comes to bring to water the sheep. So then we read on, beginning with verse 9. It said, while he yet spake with them, Rachel came. Now keep in mind, Rachel was the younger daughter of Laban. This would have been Jacob's first cousin. And he never met her before. And she brought the sheep to the well. And think about Jacob's mindset. Here he was going, he'd been on a long journey. And he came to meet family he'd never seen before, but he went with a purpose. And his purpose was, I'm going to find a wife. Now, when you find a man, now, another important note here. I would not call Jacob a young man at this place. All right? Jacob, actually, they say at the youngest, he was probably 57 years old. He hadn't been married. They said he possibly was 77 years old. Now, that was when he got married the first time, so maybe he was 50 to 70 at this time period. So he wasn't just a young man, but I will say when you find a young man coming around, and he has on his mind, I've come to find a wife, you better watch out. He came with us because he has a purpose. And I think all of us, a lot of us have been there. We've been that young man. And we've seen young men sometimes that don't maybe know how to control themselves as well, and they are literally, you can just see them looking. They are actively on the hunt. I'm out to find me a wife. This is what Jacob had come for this purpose. I've come to get a wife, and I've come to marry a family member. So when he saw Rachel, there must have been something in his heart that this is family. This is a place, someone that maybe, is this the one? Is this who I'm going to marry? You know, the questions that came with it. And it said, it came to pass when he saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Here's a kid, this is family now, and he sees this woman coming, and we're going to find out in a moment, she was a very attractive woman. And he sees her coming, and here's this man that jumps to help her out, help her water the sheep. He didn't just kind of sit back and see, well, I'm going to get to know the family a little bit. But he saw her coming, and he took the cover off the well, and he helped water the sheep. And it said, Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice, and he wept. Now, do you know, I think if it was a 19, 20, 21, 25-year-old man that was on the hunt for a woman, I think this one began to weep. I don't think that would work real well in our society. But here, he was weeping because this is my wife's family. I've never seen them before, and there's a place after on a long journey, you know, it feels good to get somewhere, to be able to rest and meet those that you came to meet. Well, Jacob wept, and he lifted up his voice and wept, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother. See, Jacob had probably just heard stories about this family, and he had desire to be there. I don't see Jacob's weeping here as making him effeminate or a wimp. I don't believe that was the reason he was weeping, but he was glad to be in a place. This is a family I've just heard stories about, and I'm finally here. And he began to tell Rachel about her family, his mother and his father and his brother. And it said as he told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, that she ran and told her father. So she ran and told him, and then we find that Laban welcomed Jacob into the home. Welcomed in. And in verse 14 it said, Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh, and he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said to Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Now, it was acceptable in this time, and I think it sounds like a pretty good policy when I read this. During Bible time, if you were a visitor in someone's home, you had about 3 days. You had 3 or 4 days to just be there. You're the visitor. But if you stayed longer than 3 or 4 days, it was time you start helping out with the work of the home. I thought that sounded like a pretty good deal. You know, someone that comes and kicks back and says, we're going to come stay with you for a few weeks, and they just act like they're on vacation for all those weeks and expect to be... Well, I won't say wined and dined. I guess, well, we'll say they expect to be fed and just taken care of, and they sit there without any work to do. You know, after about 3 days of company like that, you know, you need to get back to work, and it's time that they step up. And Jacob had made himself invaluable to Laban because he was obviously working. And Laban asked him, he said, you're working for naught. If you're my family, and you're here working, surely I need to pay you something. So what can I pay you for the work that you're doing? Jacob was a hard worker. And as you read on this story about Jacob, you'll find that. But this is what Jacob said. It said Laban had 2 daughters. Now, it's interesting. It starts off after Laban says, tell me, what shall thy wages be? He said, he has 2 daughters. We see something coming. He was out looking for a wife. Laban had 2 daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, in our language, I think the English really let down on our understanding of this. Because if we say someone's tender-eyed, we probably think of this very beautiful-eyed damsel. You know, she's tender-eyed. But according to some of the commentators, at least, she might have had blue eyes, and at the time, and I know our society has elevated, you know, the blonde hair, blue eyes thing, but in this time, if you were blue-eyed, it was seen as inferior. And it was seen as weak-eyed. They said she was a weak-eyed looking person. But yet, the term here that is used for Rachel, it said that she was beautiful and favored. And the words that were used here in the Hebrew bring out that she was a fine shape, a fine stature, that her gait was beautiful, her countenance was beautiful. So this was not just, oh, she's nice looking. Rachel was beautiful. She walked with poise and dignity, and she was someone you say, now this is a woman. In her countenance, in her behavior, she was beautiful. Now compare that to the older sister. Even the way it's phrased here, it says Leah was tender-eyed, but. You notice that? He was showing a comparison. In other words, it's kind of like the uglier older sister thing, and the younger sister is the beautiful one that everybody recognizes her beauty. Well, who do you think Jacob wanted to marry? Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served for 7 years. Now, I want you to remember this question. How many years will you labor? Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. Now, the situation was that in this time period, the men would pay the dowry to the woman's father. And Jacob went without anything. He traveled. He went on the journey. He didn't have anything to start with. He had no dowry. And so it was acceptable for him when he was asked, what will I give you in wages? He said, I want to marry your daughter. And the agreement was, instead of a dowry, you'll work for 7 years to marry her. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to go around and ask Evan and Brother Randy and Brother Sean and Stephen and Brother Friendtrip and Brother Cook and myself. We're not going to go around saying, what if you served 7 years of hard labor to marry who you did? That wouldn't necessarily be fair to put him on the spot. But here for Jacob, he was willing to work 7 hard, long years because there was something he wanted. He wanted to marry this woman. He loved her. And the years it said that he served, it just seemed like a few days. You know, it's noteworthy this morning, and it's one of the points, Lord help us to get hold of. When you love something, things are so much easier. If you love, I would much rather see my boys as they're looking in careers and looking what they're doing. I would much rather them find something they enjoy doing. We're talking about their temporal work. I would much rather than find something they enjoy doing that made less money than something that paid a lot of money that they just couldn't hardly stand to get up and go to work every day. Because when you love what you do, it is still work, and there's days that you don't love it as much. But you enjoy doing what you do. And it makes the work much more pleasant. And if you're going to spend your life laboring, why not do something that you enjoy doing? Well, it just seemed like a few days. And you know, when we love someone, you know what makes life that much sweeter? It makes life that much sweeter when you love someone. And the days went by much more quickly. Well, we're not going to take all the time to read all of the scripture. But remember what happened after 7 years. It was the wedding day. And The bride was veiled, and we're not talking about one of those see-through veils either. If it would have been one of the little veils that people wear today, I think Jacob would have said, hold on a minute. But they come and they get married, and she's covered heavily with a veil. And it wasn't until the morning that Jacob realized that he had not married the woman that he loved. He'd married Leah. Laban had not dealt with him honestly. Laban had had his oldest daughter, put her in the wedding dress, so to speak, and she had a veil on her face, and they said their I do's, and I'm putting in our language now, but they said their I do's, and I still don't know exactly how he never knew that it wasn't Rachel, but the next morning he recognized, this is not Rachel, it's Leah. But at that time, he was stuck. There was nothing to do about it. Well, let's read on a little bit. Came to pass in verse 25 that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Now we're talking about, I don't know if Leah was ugly or not. I know there is a big comparison between her and her sister. And I will just say for the benefit of all of us, it would be so much better to marry someone that's ugly that has a sweet spirit than marry someone that has a beautiful countenance and an ugly spirit. Beautiful gets ugly real fast. So that's just a little side note. But he said, what have you done to me? In other words, I married the ugly one. This isn't the one that I labor for. And this isn't the one that I served for 7 years. I worked hard and you deceived me and you didn't give me what I worked for. What have you done? And so Laban goes on to say, well, it is not to be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Why didn't he tell him this to start with? When he said, I'm going to labor for 7 years to marry your youngest daughter, Laban agreed. That was the time he should have said, wait, hold on a minute. Hold on. The oldest girl has to be married first. So Leah we've got to go find her husband or you've got to marry her. But you can't just marry the younger daughter. So Laban was trying to kind of cover up his dishonesty and have some excuses here. But let's read on. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. In other words, if you really want to marry Rachel, you can serve me another 7 years. And it said, Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave Rachel his daughter to wife also. Now, just in brief, to summarize this up, this is what happened. Jacob came and he wanted to marry Rachel, the beautiful one. That's who he loved. And you know, it said the time went by, those 7 years that he labored, it was just as a few days. And I can imagine when Jacob was out watching the sheep, that probably he might have been looking out over the hills wondering, is she going to bring me my lunch today? And here Rachel comes with his lunch. And that evening he probably looked forward to putting his feet up around the fire with the family and they're talking, just everybody being together, but he looked forward because Rachel was going to be there. And it didn't seem like it was very long, and then he was deceived, and he married Leah. So he asked Laban, what are you going to do? And Laban said, you work for me another 7 years, and you can marry her too. That is 14 years of hard service to marry two sisters, one of whom you loved. All right? Well, just take note that Jacob went ahead and married Rachel he married Rachel within a week of marrying her sister. He didn't have to wait till the end of the 14 years. There was a week in between the weddings. And then he was obligated to work another 7 years to pay for the wife that he was marrying. So how would you feel if you were Leah? You knew it was deceptive to start with. But then you think, okay, I got the man. You know, I'm the oldest sister and I got the man. And he can't do anything about it. And he wakes up and says, I still want to marry Rachel, and then within a week he marries her. So he labored for another 7 years. He must have really loved Rachel. You think? How many of you all would have wanted to stay at your new father-in-law's house that had just deceived you, and now he's going to get another 7 years? There's a lot of people that would say, it's not worth it. Forget it. You know, I'll take Leah with me if I have to, but I'm getting out of this place. You understand that was the mindset, but that wasn't Jacob's mindset. His mindset was, I love Rachel, and I want to marry her, and I will work however much I need to get her. So the question for us this morning is this. How many years will you labor to get what you want? We live in a time that, and I'm gonna summarize some scripture this morning, not take the time, but Abraham was called to leave his country, and he journeyed to Canaan, and the scripture says over in Hebrews that he looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker was God. In other words, he was laboring for something that he didn't have yet. All right? We think about Moses. How many years did Moses labor? Moses was in Pharaoh's court and home for 40 years. And then Moses went and was a shepherd for another 40 years. And then he wandered in the wilderness. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they wandered for another 40 years. We're not talking about short time spans. How many years did Moses labor to get the children of Israel out? He put a lot of time. He chose to leave Pharaoh's court. He chose to leave it knowing he was going to have years of poverty possibly, of hard work, and of labor, but he was willing to do it because he had a goal in mind. He had something in mind. We think about Noah. You know how many years Noah built the ark? Noah said was a preacher of righteousness. Now, I know a lot of times people say it took 120 years to build the ark, and we're not going to get into all of that, but I will say that it was probably much less than 100 years, much less, because his sons helped him build the ark, and he was 500 years old before he had sons, and the flood came when he was just right around 600 years old, if that's a little helpful in doing that research. So it was most likely much less, maybe even 50, 60 years. Who knows how long they built the ark. The point was, it wasn't an overnight project. They had a goal in mind to labor for many, many, many years because that's our salvation. Jacob was willing to do it because of love. And then we read about, again, Abraham and Moses. We read about Solomon. You know, Solomon, it took 20 years to build the temple. This is after David got all of the supplies together. It took 20 years for Solomon to build the temple. How many years will you labor? Well, they had a goal in mind. I want a place to worship the Lord. And so they built for 20 years because they had a love for God. There's a scripture I like to read over in John, the 6th chapter. Jesus was speaking and he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. If you want to be successful in things of this life, you've got to labor. And you've got to be dedicated. You know, most often, wealth is not accumulated overnight. It comes from hard work, and it comes from making wise decisions, and it comes from saving. But when you have a goal in mind, you have something for which to work. Spiritually, what are we working for? I think that's a fair question starting the new year as well. What are we working for this year? There's nothing wrong with having temporal goals and plans and dreams. We need those. But more than that, Jesus said to labor for the meat that does not perish. In other words, labor for the edification of the soul. labor for eternal life. And my question is this morning, how many years are you willing to labor that you can have eternal life? Because a lot of people get saved, well, not as many anymore. The people get saved, and after a little time, they hit some rough spots. And many times people say, I just can't do it. They throw their hands in the air. But do you know that to get to the goal, you've got to keep working. We don't want to throw our hands up and say, well, I get some obstacles and things are getting pretty rough. No, I have a goal that I'm laboring for. And I want to encourage us this morning to labor. If you haven't been successful in areas, and maybe you have some spiritual failures, don't be discouraged by that. Don't throw your hands in the air, but let's do like Jacob did and said, I don't care how many years I have to work. I'm going to keep working at this because I want to reach the goal. And remember that love made the years just seem like a few days. You know, the crux of the Christian experience is a relationship with love. I really don't want to waste 14 years working for Leah. No offense to Leah. But I really don't want to spend 14 years of my life working hard, long days for Leah because I don't love Leah. But Rachel now, we're talking about a fine woman. So says the scripture. 7 years, oh yes, I'll do it. 14 years, she's still worth it. Folks, how much is it worth gaining eternal life this morning? A few years of labor? 7 years? 20 years? But do you know when you love the Lord, it will make things go so much smoother? Because it's not just about trying to please the Lord, doing this and that according to rules. We do this because, Lord, I'm laboring for you because I love you. I want to live a holy life, Lord, because I love you, and I want to reach that goal when we are married with the Lord in eternity. So how many years will you labor? 5? 10? 15? 50? 70? 80? 90? It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. It's worth laboring for it. And Paul told us over in 2 Timothy, in closing, Paul told us, he said, I have fought a good fight. And another way of looking at that is, I labored for many years, and I didn't give up. Met some opposition, met some trouble, met some hard things in the flesh that sometimes you wonder, is it worth it? But when I stopped, I thought, it is worth it because I love. I love God, and I'm going to reach the goal. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I got to the end of the 14 years, and I kept the faith. And he said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. So folks, as we leave here today, if you can take the question home with you, how many years will you labor? Love the Lord. It's sad to me, and I know this little phrase, senioritis, and I know sometimes juniors and sophomores and freshmen in high school get senioritis, and they've got a few years to go. But you know, it's difficult to see people that have worked hard in school, and then they get close to the end, and I've seen them quit. Renee and I were talking about someone recently got to 11th grade, and they quit. Like, why did you quit? You were almost there. You were almost finished. You're talking about that, and then I've seen people that they work hard and study, and then they get to the end, and well, whatever, I'm almost done. And they, if you've had all A's, what would it be like? You had all A's, and then your last year of school, you just dropped off. Wouldn't that be sad? You know, there are people that do that with the Lord. They've been through some things. They've had some rough spots, but they come through and then they give up. I don't want to give up this morning. How many years will we labor? I want to keep pressing on because it is worth it this morning. Folks, let's end well. let's end well. You start well. When we got saved, folks, we started well. But let's end well this morning. So let's just consider all those that have gone before us. I know Jacob didn't do everything right, but I have to admire his tenacity. I have to admire that he was willing. And you know, there's not a lot of wives that can say that about their husband. He worked 14 years for me. I hope Jacob kept working after they got married. You know, that's our job too as husbands this morning. Our job is keep working for him. But he worked hard for her. And I want to do that with the Lord this morning. How many years will you work? God has something for all of us to do, but I don't want to forget the reality that when you love, it makes those years seem like just a few days. And then the service of the Lord can grow sweeter and sweeter as we draw closer to Him. Yes, we still get tired. Yes, we still get weary with the labor sometimes. But if we keep a goal in mind, eternal life, is it not worth a little sacrifice in this life? Amen.